This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Monday, December 6th. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. Happy St. Nicholas Day. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America. Great to be with you on this second Monday in Advent. On Mondays, I always make a point to remind you that on Mondays, traditionally, we pray for the souls in purgatory of our relatives and our loved ones. Today is also the Feast of St. Nicholas, the real Santa Claus, who's been the focal point of many legends. We know for certain St. Nicholas was the Bishop of Myra in modern-day Turkey. He was present at the First Ecumenical Council of Nicaea, where he signed the document affirming the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Nicholas is renowned for his charity and his compassion for the poor. We start each hour giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. When we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Isaiah 35:8. A highway will be there called the Holy Way. Advent, in many ways, is like walking through a desert to escape from exile and return home. How will we survive walking hundreds of miles spiritually through the desert of Advent? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the truth, the way, and the life, in His infinite ocean of mercy, has given us the gift of the sacrament of confession. There's no better way to prepare our soul for Jesus coming this Christmas than making a good confession this Advent. Let us walk on the holy way into the desert of Advent. There we will see many miracle moments and come home for Christmas. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now we're going to talk a little bit about money. On Friday, we learned that the U.S. added 210,000 jobs in November, which was much weaker than expected. Stocks initially opened higher before dipping into the red. Investors were clearly hoping for better jobs numbers. The financial markets ended on a downbeat week as technology stocks fell and the Omicron variant weighed in on the markets. Joining us now with the latest on the financial markets from a Catholic perspective is longtime Morning Air contributor Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. Senecal is bridging the gap between traditional investing and digital assets. Good morning, Bill. Welcome back to Morning Air. Always good to be with you.
Oh, good morning, John. Happy Monday. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Happy Monday. Happy St. Nicholas Day to you. Yep. I got to tell you, I walked into my office and I found a little stocking with my name on it and a candy cane and a few little chocolates inside. And it was like, oh, wow, this is really neat. It really is St. Nicholas Day.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, you know, my three grandchildren will be visiting and staying with us over the Christmas season. So I've kind of forgotten that little magic of Christmas where my wife is getting stockings ready and little gifts and things like that. So while we didn't celebrate St. Nicholas Day today, you know, my youngest is now 21. You know, we have gotten out of the habit of trying to find that Christmas joy. It's really interesting. I was smiling as I was listening to you talk.
Well, Bill, you know, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. So we still got plenty of time here this Advent to get into the Christmas and Advent spirit, and a lot going on from that perspective. But also, there's always a lot going on in the financial world. Friday, all three major index declined. What do you think are some of the concerns for investors that have seen some of this volatility?
Well, we definitely had a very tough week in the stock market. There was intense selling pressure, and mainly it was what we call risk on or risk off, right? So we had a risk on in the beginning of the week and risk off at the end of the week. And it's exactly that. Where are investors? Where primarily are professional investors and traders putting their money and trying to anticipate every little piece of news that comes out on the tape? So the NASDAQ, which is the technology-heavy index, saw the brunt of the declines, especially on Friday, when it declined 2.5% just on Friday. And the index is off about 7.5% to 8% from its all-time high so far in 2021. And this is kind of interesting, John, because you know the Dow Jones Industrial Average has 30 companies that represent itself inside the index. The S&P 500, of course, has 500. The Russell 2000 has 2,000 companies that comprise the index, but the NASDAQ index has about 3,500 companies, and they're all primarily technology companies. So we saw a lot more weakness in the NASDAQ as compared to the technology sector. And this is also kind of interesting because despite what we seem to be going on in the economy with the market, quote unquote, relatively making new highs and things seem to be opening up. I mean, at least here in Illinois, there might be mandatory mask mandates indoors, but I see very few people wear masks. So things seem to be wearing off. But at the same time, it's really interesting to me, this divergence, this paradox, where the technology sector in many ways is the lowest level as it was in March of 2020, right when we were at the bottom of the COVID scare. So I find it interesting that my indicators have us down in the low 20s, mid to low 20s on a scale of like 1 to 100. And we got to 6, a level of 6, which is an insanely low reading. This is where the baby gets thrown out with the bathwater. I mean, just all hands on deck selling. So I guess one of the indexes that people like to look at, because it's companies that we're aware of, is called the FANG Index, F-A-A-N-G. FANG is an acronym for Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And there is an index called the New York FANG Index, but it also includes some companies from China. And it's really interesting that companies like Baidu and Alibaba were down 10 to 16%. Netflix was down 10% this week. Tesla down 6%. In Twitter, you know, down roughly the same, almost 11%. So we saw even domestic and overseas companies down a lot this week. And, you know, and I don't want to read too much into it because the rest of the indexes overall held up pretty well, like the S&P 500 and the Russell 2000, which has been kind of sideways. But also the other thing I find interesting is that, again, there is this concern with what's going on in Germany, in Austria, shutting down potentially in February of 2022.
I heard, I actually was listening to another network, and there was an expert that was being interviewed from Austria who was describing hundreds of thousands of Austrian people in the streets out protesting for freedom. They're just not happy with the way that the government is locking down the country.
Oh, John, boy, you know, I'm surprised that there's not more of this on the mainstream media. I've got to be honest with you. It's happening all over the world. And in Australia, I saw some videos of really government officials just standing outside your house, outside your apartment, outside your townhouse, and will not permit you to leave your home. And it isn't, you know, you had mentioned the Omicron variant. You know, it really isn't the virus that's the problem. The problem is the government's response to all these proposals.
Exactly. And that fear-based response, even though we don't have all the facts yet, we're still waiting on the facts. I thought it was encouraging over the weekend that Dr. Fauci himself said that so far, so good. It doesn't look like it's a very dangerous virus early on from what they've seen.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, we have to compare what people are saying with what the government and other people are doing. And Australia recently purchased 14 doses per person. So in other words, every 6 months for 7 years, you're going to have to get a booster. At least that's what they're preparing behind the scenes. And that's really frightening to me, and I think it's frightening to a lot of people. And yes, there is a lot of protesting going on, John. And if the economy, if a third of the economy gets shut down, or a third of the population is excluded from participating, you know, that's really a big deal. And so I think we're going to see continued weakness, maybe going into the markets. Again, I don't have enough evidence to say that this is like a big new bear market, or we're going to have this massive decline. All I'm saying is that from my perspective, things are very, very fair valued. The market pullback that we saw this week and recently, even year to date, from the highs, it still kind of puts us in the middle of the road. Like, you know, when you're driving from Chicago to Green Bay, you're smack dab in the middle of this, you know, four-lane highway. So things are very, very fair valued, and I suspect that we're going to stay that way until the end of the year. And then once that happens, we're going to see money managers and professional investors. Really, that's when we put our money on the table. This is when we're saying, hey, it's January 1st. What are the themes that we think are going to do well going into the end of the year? And we place our bets there. It's also really interesting to me, John, that the companies we thought would do really well in the pandemic, like Zoom, you know, some of the telemedicine companies, just have gotten shellacked over the last, you know, last few weeks. So that could be a part of the fact that we're coming back online economically and we're doing more in-person things, or it could just mean that those companies got a little bit ahead of themselves in terms of their valuations. So still, there's a lot of uncertainty out there, and we always have an uncertainty, John, don't get me wrong. But, you know, last, you know, 2 weeks ago when I was on, I was talking about inflation, and now it seems as though the conversation has changed. We saw a flight to quality out of stocks into long-dated bonds, like the 30-year bonds, which are paying 1.5%. Nobody invests in a 1.5% bond if interest rates, I'm sorry, if the inflation rates are 6 or 8%. So now we flip the other way. Maybe it's slightly deflationary, what we're seeing, the conversation based on where money's gone in the last few weeks. So this is a tough game. It changes minute by minute, week by week, and you really got to keep your eye on the ball.
Our guest this morning, Bill Ulivieri, the owner of Senecal Capital Management. We're talking about the latest on the markets. Bill, I'm very intrigued about these technology stocks and why they haven't done well. I mean, these are big name companies. Obviously, Facebook, with its new name, it's still part of that FANG group that you described, but it's intriguing. Why Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and the others are not doing well right now?
Boy, well, that's really a great question. I think they're not doing well because they've done so well typically year to date. Like Facebook's down probably 10. Let's see, this high was almost 400. It's now trading 300. So it's almost down, you know, 25% from its high. And so what I think we're seeing, again, is that the semiconductor stocks have held up pretty well. Software companies in general have held up pretty well. But things that are considered technology services, like Cloudflare, Facebook, which is actually considered an internet stock, they've done pretty poorly. And again, they're still above and up year to date. But the recent decline has just been very, very tough for these companies. And so, you know, John, it's hard to say. Money flows in and out at the speed of light, right? And it all, people, especially in professional money managers, are very scared, and they're skittish, and they're just trying to take little bets on the market and little bets on companies. And we're seeing that here. Once the momentum ends in a company run, like whether it's Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, Facebook, Twitter, they just are so fast to get out. Twitter is down 50% from its high that was made in the beginning of this year in March. So, wow, like what's up with that? Is it just because of Jack Dorsey leaving as CEO? I don't think so. There are bigger things here. So, again, we continue to see this rotation under the surface of the water. And that's primarily where I spend like 5 hours a day trying to figure out what's going on in the market. And it really is a full-time job.
Well, we talked a little bit about the fears that are going on with the Omicron variant, but what about just the vaccine mandates that are already in place, and some of them are really being enforced, in these upcoming weeks? How do you think that is affecting our economy overall? I think especially of like the airlines and pilots and the firefighters and police unions.
How is it, boy? Well, that is a really interesting question, because I'd received a text message this morning from a friend of mine that is in the healthcare industry, and it does seem as though their healthcare system in Arizona is capitulating and saying, hey, because of these new lawsuits out on the forced vaccinations and the president's mandates, vaccine mandates, we're not going to fire you because you don't get the vaccine. You still have to let us know whether you received it, but it's no longer a condition of your employment. So what I see is, listen, John, I'm definitely a right of center politically. I'm a little bit more libertarian in some ways. And so I see people fighting back. They're fighting back with their dollars. They're fighting back with their feet. They're fighting back by quitting. And I think that we're seeing a swing finally going back the other way, where a little bit of power and freedom will be restored to people, whether it's public servants or individual employees, the frontline workers like nurses and first responders. So I guess I'm very optimistic there, but I'm also not optimistic when I see some of the looting and robberies that are going on in California, in Illinois, and across the country. So for retailers, especially the big box luxury retailers, I'm still very disappointed, and I almost to the point of tears when I see what happened to Chicago's Michigan Avenue and some parts of San Francisco and Los Angeles, where they're just at the hands of roving bands of looters. And I don't know how that can be addressed. Certainly, growing up in 1968 in Chicago during the Democratic National Conference, we had Mayor Daley issue some very strong vocal orders to the police department. And so that keeps coming back to me, these things from a young boy. Aerospace, yeah, this is still it's still an issue for travelers, but I think that we're going to see more relaxed travel restrictions in air travel. And again, like technology, the airline industry on a scale of 1 to 100, it's oversold in the 20% area, and that even got down to 4% during COVID. So I think, again, we're gonna see some buying opportunities here, John. So I'm actually more optimistic for some of these sectors than I am pessimistic. But you just can't tell from the mainstream media. You can't just tell from regular financial news. There is a lot of interesting opportunities we're looking at right now, and I think we're gonna be okay for 2022.
Can you explain to us how the market is comprised of several different sectors or silos for the average person that's not familiar with that lingo?
Sure. I think in general, most investors just look at it that it's the stock market. The market was this. The market was that. Well, the market is very, very, very complex. And we have primarily the market is separated into two big silos. First is value companies, like dividend paying companies, and growth companies. What's done very well still are the value dividend paying companies that typically do well when the US dollar falls. Those companies are up maybe still 16 or 17% year to date. But the growth companies like the Russell 2000 or the technology index is only up about 6 to 9%. So what we also may be seeing is that we've had a great rally, John, from 2010 lows until 2021. A good 11-year rally. I'm wondering out loud, are we going to see a time period where the market doesn't really do much for about 10 years or 8 years? And that was called the lost decade, where dividend paying stocks and these old school companies actually outperformed technology. And so so we have to always look at what is the attribute of the company? Is it growth or is it value? Is it a high flyer, aggressive, or is it a old school widows and orphans fund that we call it? So that's primarily, John, what we have to look at, and growth versus value. And then underneath that, we can separate, is it airlines, technology, telephone, steel, U.S. gas, electric utilities, banks, Wall Street, and break those down into 40 subsectors. So it's a lot of work. But again, you have to be very careful when you just say the market, because, boy, that means a lot of different things.
Bill, a final minute, a quick thought on what you see happening the rest of this year here in 2021 and any opportunities that you see to invest in the right stocks at this time.
Well, we have about 25 days left until the end of the year. I think we're going to see some tax selling and profit taking. I would just say, you know, take a look at the companies you feel very strongly about and maybe consider dabbling and toe dipping back into those. But again, really, most people don't even think about investing between now and the end of the year, John. This is a new conversation at the beginning. So some of the out of favor sectors like the airlines and some of the big technology names might be a place to put a little bit of money. But, you know, 2 months ago, I was talking about rebalancing your account. And so you have to rebalance when you're at the high end of the extreme, not when things have kind of got to the middle of the bell curve like they are now. So I don't know. I think I maybe just hold. That's my advice right now is just let's wait and see. Right? It's too soon, I think, or too late to do anything.
Well, Bill, as always, thanks so much for the update on the markets. How can our listeners contact you?
Well, they can call us at area code 847-686-4800, or they can actually text the word blockchain to 22828 for those who are tech savvy. The word blockchain to 22828, and they can begin getting our newsletter, which encompasses everything, stocks, bonds, energy like crude oil and natural gas, as well as blockchain technology companies like Bitcoin and Ethereum and others.
Thanks again. Bill Ulivieri, owner of Senecal Capital Management, senecalcapitalmanagement.com. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by author and professor of theology, Annabelle Mosley, to talk about five ways to honor the saints and devotions of December in your home this Advent. Do stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. Happy St. Nicholas Day. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Good to be with you this Monday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the show, 888-914-9149. Now, during Advent in this month of December, there are many beautiful traditions and feasts to mark with your family as we prepare for Christmas. December is the month devoted to the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother Mary and the season of Advent as we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus at Christmas. Joining us now is Annabelle Mosley, who will discuss with us five different ways to honor the saints and devotions of December in your home. Annabelle is an award-winning American poet, inventor of a new poetic form, the Mere Sonnet. She's also a professor of theology and author of 11 books, including Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece Through Art, Poetry, and Reflections. Good morning, Annabelle. Welcome back to Morning Air. Happy Advent. Good to be with you once again.
Good morning, John. Happy Advent.
And happy St. Nicholas Day to you.
It's a good day.
Definitely, definitely. Let's start talking about today's feast day. It has a secular ring to it, but also has a spiritual perspective. How can we celebrate the real Santa Claus?
It's such a great opportunity for us because it's a wonderful way for all of us Catholic parents who want to bridge that gap and say, all right, you know, sometimes the Santa thing can get a little too secular and commercial, but there's a lot of beauty to the story. How do we navigate that and bridge that gap? Well, you know, the very word Santa means saint or holy. And who's the model for Santa Claus? Really, Santa Claus is the lovable figure who comes from St. Nicholas. That's who Santa started out as, St. Nicholas. So today's such a perfect day to read the life story of this wonderful saint to our kids. And also, you know what's wonderful? Saints are still alive in heaven. So when our children, you know, they want to believe and they want to say, oh, Santa, is he real? And a lot of parents say, well, I don't really want to lie. I don't want to tell them something and then have them lose faith later. It's kind of a fun way to sort of bridge that if you say, well, yeah, St. Nicholas is real. St. Nicholas is in heaven and he started the whole thing. Here's his book. And, you know, you can read his life story. There's a lot you can find online, or you can just find, even if you do a web search, you'll find ways to just show them the story on YouTube and that kind of thing. And that way we're not even fibbing by saying St. Nicholas is real. He's a saint in heaven. And even better than sending a letter to Santa, you can say a prayer to St. Nicholas asking for your intentions, especially if you include, you know, beautiful intentions of what the family really needs. And I'm just laughing, John, when you asked me about the day, because if you had heard this house about 5 minutes earlier before our call, you would have heard the joy of my kids finding their shoes. I left out, and listeners can do this even tomorrow because it's the day after. You can leave out the kids' shoes for St. Nicholas Day, and they wake up to find them filled with chocolate coins, candy canes, little treasures. It's just a nice sort of ancient tradition that kicks off the season in a way that really is honoring St. Nicholas and the spirit of giving.
There's a beautiful photograph in the article that you wrote in Alatea that shows that very thing, the candy inside the shoes. In fact, came into my office this morning and I found a little red stocking with my name on it with a candy cane sticking out and a bunch of chocolates inside. And I'm like, wow, this really is St. Nicholas Day.
Yeah. What a great way to start the day, John. That's awesome.
For sure. I think it's also good for the kids to understand that St. Nicholas was a bishop, and he was a successor to the apostles, and he really stood up for the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ at the Council of Nicaea. And so he really has some real history behind him that we can pass on to our children in addition to the fun part.
Absolutely. 100%. And his story is so beautiful. As a boy, you know, he grew up really wishing he was wealthy and he wished he could help more. And he started giving to the poor and making a difference in their lives. And so he really is the true Santa. So children really get excited when we talk to them about St. Nicholas. And then celebrating his day and seeing the bishop dressed in red, you really get that sense of the authentic Santa that's real, that's true, and that we can claim and be so grateful for. And we can even pray to him today in heaven.
In fact, I remember a few years ago at St. John Cantius in Chicago, there was a St. Nicholas available to take photographs with the children.
Yes.
And how much fun they had sitting on St. Nicholas's lap,
you're right,
a la Santa Claus, but the real Santa Claus.
Oh, this is so great. So yesterday, my church actually had breakfast with Santa, but it was, you know, done in such a way that it was for St. Nicholas Day. So it was perfect because it was, you know, meet St. Nicholas, and it's St., you know, because it was we did it as the vigil or the eve of St. Nicholas, which is when some people do it. So my kids were so excited, and they're little, and we're headed to church to meet, you know, St. Nicholas. And they said, oh, I can't believe we finally get to meet a saint at church. This is great. They're so happy.
Absolutely. So well, this is a great time of the year. There's a lot going on here during December and Advent. In fact, just this very week, coming up in a couple days on December 8th, is the big feast, the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Mother. It's also the end of the year of St. Joseph. What can we do to celebrate this big feast day to our Blessed Mother and also remember St. Joseph as well?
Oh, yes. This has been quite a year of his special patronage. And so many of us have found during this year that we've just been drawn into a deeper love of him, a more of an awareness of all of his strength and protection over us, our families, and the church. And we've really leaned on his intercession. So along with, you know, consecrating ourselves and our families to St. Joseph, and one thing I recommend is sort of, you know, taking this opportunity on this last day that's coming up on December 8th of his year of praying, St. Joseph, you know, I know that you'll recede a bit in terms of it's no longer your special year. So there'll be a little bit of a receding of emphasis on you. In my home, stay. Stay, St. Joseph, you know, and there's so many beautiful consecrations written. We can just one quick web search, and there'll even be one prayer you can say, an act of entrustment. I give my family and myself to you, St. Joseph. Let's make sure we do that. But let's also watch where St. Joseph always points, which is to his beloved spouse, Mary. And there it is, December 8th, the very day that his year ends, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. She's also the special patroness of America. And we have been going through many hard times recently in America. We need our Lady. We need her strength. We need to be under her mantle of protection. So what a great day on this beautiful feast day of December 8th to do an act of consecration to the Immaculate Conception of Mary. Again, a quick web search will find it, or it's available in my article. And on my website, bethanyplan.com, you can find all kinds of consecrations there too. But let's really make sure we consecrate ourselves to Our Lady.
Absolutely. The Immaculate Conception of Our Blessed Mother is such an important feast day. It's a holy day of obligation. So at the very least, we need to go to Mass and honor our Blessed Mother.
We do. And, you know, another beautiful thing is just asking her for just pouring ourselves out at Mass, you know, all of those worries we have, just giving them to our mother, you know, and entrusting them to her.
Definitely.
That's why the consecration is so great, John, you know, because you really feel like you give yourself to her completely.
And there's little things that we can do as a reminder that we belong to Mary. Just wearing the scapular, for example, is a great little reminder. I never leave home without it. Only take it off when I jump in the shower. Other than that, it's always on. It's always a reminder of that dedication and that consecration to our Blessed Mother.
Oh, same here. Same here. And you know, I love, if you look up the some of the official prayers for the brown scapula, they even talk about being clothed in Our Lady's garment. What better thing than that to feel that we're really almost wearing our love of her, you know, and her protection at all times. So I'm with you on that. The brown scapula is one of the greatest things we can do as Catholics.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and somehow we were talking about carrying a rosary in the pocket. And we were talking about for men. I never leave home without a rosary in my pocket. I have a Knights of Columbus rosary that I never, ever leave without. And it reminded me that it is a weapon. It's a spiritual weapon.
Yes.
And we were hearing from one of our guests who has worked extensively in spiritual warfare, who reminded us that the evil spirits do not like the rosary. So especially men, carry a rosary in your pocket. Women, I think it goes as well. You could put it in your purse. Always have a rosary with you.
Yes. Oh, that's such a beautiful, authentic, masculine example, John. You know, it really is the battle beads, and real men carry those battle beads. It's funny, for last Christmas, one of the gifts I gave that was the hugest hit was something called battle beads, where you can research online and you'll find rosaries that are kind of military style. Some of them are built from, you know, paracord and things like that. And I gave one to my husband and one to my father. And my sons were coveting them. They really love them because it reminds them that it's battle, you know?
Absolutely. Well, one last thought on the Immaculate Conception. You know, every time we pray the Hail Mary, and we always pray it here to start the show, when we say those words, Hail Mary, full of grace, full of grace. That's what we are celebrating this coming Wednesday. She who was full of grace, not one ounce of sin in her, the Immaculate Conception. How do you explain that doctrine, that dogma, the Immaculate Conception, in a simple way that even children could understand?
Oh, well, full of grace. One of the things I like to tell children, my children all the time, is that since she's full of grace and she's also the mediatrix of graces, which I just explain as the one who can give graces to us. So whatever it is we need, all the ways we're lacking, and there are so many things we think we need or we think we need help with, but really our mother knows better because she is so full of grace that she knows exactly the graces to give us. So one of the best prayers would be to say, Sender of all graces, send me the graces I need, the ones I don't even know I need. You know, she is completely without any spot or blemish of sin. And she's also our mother. You know, this queen, this perfect queen, is also our mother. So she has both this incredible just purity, but also the mother's heart that knows what we need, what her children need in order to be more filled with grace. And the kids instinctively get it. You know, they get that there's always something that Mother Mary knows that they need, and they'll ask, please send me the graces I need most.
Well, I want to invite our listeners, if you have a special Advent devotion or tradition in your home that you'd like to share with us, or if you have a question for Annabelle Mosley, we have open lines. You can give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We need to take a short break as we continue our conversation with Professor of Theology and author Annabelle Mosley. Stay with us. There's much more to come.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Oh, oh, oh. Oh, who wouldn't go?
Oh, oh, oh.
Who wouldn't go? Up on the housetop, click, click, click. Down through the chimney with good Saint Nick. First comes the stocking.
46 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for being with us this morning on Saint Nicholas Day. We continue our conversation with Professor of Theology and author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as a Masterpiece, Annabelle Mosley. Annabelle, welcome back.
Thanks, John.
We were talking and we were finishing up our conversation about the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and it dawned on me that St. Juan Diego was on his way to Mass on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception back in 1531 when the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, appeared to him, the very feast that we're going to celebrate this weekend on December 12th. So there's even a connection between the Immaculate Conception and Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Definitely. Boy, these saints and feast days of December really are so rich, and they feed off of each other.
Absolutely. And this is very special because obviously she's the patroness of the Americas, the patroness for life, which is so much needed in this very time in which we're talking about the end of Roe v. Wade, potentially praying for life, praying for the justices. And she's also the patroness of Relevant Radio. So we have a special, special devotion to Our Lady Guadalupe. I have a beautiful image of her right here in studio, always with us. And we never forget her on every single show. So, and I know in the Chicago area, the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe is opening up this year. Last year it was closed because of COVID. They're expecting 200,000 to 300,000 people to show up again, as they do most years. The second largest congregation of Catholic faithful outside of Mexico City for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So it's a special day and another way to honor Our Lady.
That is so special. Boy, it makes me feel even more part of the Relevant Radio family hearing how you talk about her, because she's actually the patron saint of our house, my family.
I love it.
We actually moved in to our house on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe 3 years ago. So we took her as our family patron, and we even hung a sign outside our, like, if you come to our front door, there's a plaque on our house that says dedicated to, you know, our Lady of Guadalupe.
What a beautiful thing. Believe me, we could do a whole show about the connection of Our Lady of Guadalupe,
we
the
could.
Star of the new evangelization. In fact, we got our very first license here at Relevant Radio on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. So
the
connections are endless, for sure. The following day, on December the 13th, we commemorate St. Lucy, the patron saint of the blind and those with eye maladies. How can we celebrate St. Lucy's Day?
Well, it's amazing how many light-filled feasts we have in December, right? We were just talking about the Immaculate Conception and how, you know, that's a doctrine that the Blessed Mother was free of original sin from that very moment of her conception. I feel like the Feast of St. Lucy just continues that light, you know, that purity. She was a virgin and martyr, and she's one of those special 15 saints that's mentioned after the consecration in the canon of the Mass. She's, of course, the patron saint of the blind and those with any kind of eye malady. So she's such a, on that feast day that's coming up, if there's anyone we know in our life who's suffering with their eyes, we have such an opportunity on that day to pray for them. But I love the traditions with St. Lucy's Day, John.
Absolutely. And maybe we can think of St. Lucy when we light a candle here during Advent time. There's a few other reminders of St. Lucy for us.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can, when we light the Christmas lights on our home, some people I know actually are waiting until December 13th to light up their house lights. So if we're a little late on that, no worries. We can maybe aim for December 13th. Or when they put the tree, you know, like the star topper on their tree, they'll wait for December 13th. But we can just light some extra candles at dinner. My favorite tradition is, it's a Scandinavian tradition that I found, and I just thought it was beautiful. Usually it's the eldest daughter in the family. That actually happens to be me, so I can do this, but anyone can do it. You make cinnamon buns, that's sort of the Scandinavian tradition, in honor of St. Lucy, and you share them with the whole family, and you carry candles at the same time. So you're sort of bringing the light while also serving, you know, a delicious treat. And it's really something that no one will forget. I did this 1 year with the family, and they're asking for it all the time. Sometimes what we do is, since I'm the oldest daughter, but of course I'm grown now with my own kids, we'll make the cinnamon buns here. I'll have my own kids help me. And then we'll drive them over to my parents' house and, you know, knock on the door, and the kids get all excited, and we bring the cinnamon buns. And we always make sure we're carrying a candle to say, you know, and we actually, the kids will usually sing Christ Be Our Light, which is another fun tradition to add, Christ Be Our Light.
What a fun tradition.
Isn't that fun?
Cinnamon buns. It sounds incredible. And I understand that actually some young people actually have like a crown with the candles on top of their head they wear.
I've got that. I totally do. I didn't want to bring that up because I'm like, he's going to laugh at me. But
I'm actually seeing the photo from your article, young girl with the candles. And it's like, wow.
I know. I went online. You can get it on Amazon. And I bought the thing. Lights up. It's you know, fortunately, my mom made sure of it. It's the LED type, because she's like, you're not going to light something on your head. But I did. It's battery, you know, or LED. So it's really cute.
And at the end of the day, it's really a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world. He is the reason for this season.
It is. And once the children see that thing on your head, or see you carrying those candles and serving cinnamon buns, they don't forget it. They don't forget it. Christ Be Our Light.
On December 21st, we celebrate the feast of St. Peter Canisius. How can we celebrate this saint?
So he is a doctor of the church, St. Peter Canisius, a doctor of the church. So brilliant, so brilliant. And he wrote a catechism. Now, his catechism, which is widely translated, it's wonderful to think of all his contributions, but I'd like to just narrow in on one. And he's a genius saint, but he wrote extensively on the Apostles' Creed. So I feel like December 21st is just a great day to go deeper with the Apostles' Creed. And we pray it at the beginning of every rosary. So when we pray our rosary on December 21st, and really for the whole month, it's a wonderful, because he's a saint of the month. Let's really go slower with that Apostles' Creed and really invoke St. Peter Canisius's intercession, helping to deepen our understanding of that incredible profession of faith, that credo.
Absolutely. And then towards the end of the month, right after Christmas, at December 26th, we have the beautiful Feast of the Holy Family. How can we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family? How does the Holy Family help us to have a model of true holiness and authentic joy?
Well, here we are. We come full circle, right, John? We were talking about St. Joseph and the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. And now we draw to a close in December, on December 26th. Really, it's the beautiful day to make sure that we have an image of the Holy Family prominently displayed in our home. Now's a great time, if we don't already have it, to look for one, sort of to get ready for this feast day. If we do have one, let's get it blessed. And let's put that image, that let's say a picture, holy card, or statue of the Holy Family in a spot in our house where we pray. But also preferably, maybe it's a spot where we pray with our family, where it gets seen, you know, where there's a lot of traffic, where we walk by that spot a lot. That way, whenever we pass by the statue or the image of the Holy Family, we can say that quick prayer, please help our family to model your holiness, Holy Family. Please help us to have authentic joy the way that the Holy Family did. And also we can ask the Holy Family's intercession, you know, for any difficulties, any sorrows that our family is going through. We just give it to them. Just give it to the Holy Family.
St. John Paul II has said the future of humanity passes by way of the family. The family is under attack in this day and age.
That's right.
Traditional marriage is under attack.
Yes.
Can you talk about how the wonderful example of the Holy Family can help us more than ever in this day and age?
Was it Sister Lucia of Fatima who said that the final, one of the last battles would be towards, you know, attacks would be on the family? On the family, that we had to be very careful going forward in our families. So we know this, and it's all the things you just mentioned. We know how our families come under attack, and we need the Holy Family. Again, we've talked a lot about consecration. You can't do too many of these consecrations. Let's consecrate ourselves to the Holy Family. Again, a quick web search. You know, one prayer of asking for them to watch over us. But, you know, how about renewing that prayer every day? If there's a couple of short ones, if you do a quick web search, you know, prayer to the Holy Family, prayer of consecration or protection from the Holy Family. I like to add that in after the rosary or any prayers that even grace before meals. Let's say there's some days it gets so busy, but grace before meals, you can just end it with, you know, asking for the Holy Family to protect, guard, and watch over our family.
Can you share that brief prayer to the Holy Family? If you have it in, do you have it in front?
Do I have it in front? I don't. I can find it though. But I would just say, you know, Holy Family, protect us. You know, both our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph have those mantles of protection, Saint Joseph's cloak and Our Lady's mantle. And I would ask, if I didn't have a prayer in front of me, I would say, dear Holy Family, please wrap our family in the sacred mantle, the blessed mantle of our Mother, and the cloak, the strong protective cloak of Saint Joseph. And dear Christ Child, please bless our children.
Thank you so much, Professor Annabelle. It's always a joy to be with you. Many blessings the rest of this Advent.
Oh, God bless you, John.
Thanks so much. Annabelle Mosley, award-winning American poet and the author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as a Masterpiece Through Art, Poetry, and Reflections. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is a child's letter to Santa. Snowflakes softly falling upon your window, they play. Our blankets snug around you, into sleep you drift away. I bend to gently kiss you when I see that on the floor there's a letter, neatly written. I wonder who it's for. I quietly unfold it, making sure you're still asleep. It's a Christmas list for Santa, one my heart will always keep. It started just as always with the toys seen on TV. A new watch for your father and a winter coat for me. But as my eyes read on, I could see that deep inside, there were many things you wished for that your loving heart would hide. You asked if your friend Molly could have another dad. It seems her father hits her. It makes you very sad. You asked dear Santa if the neighbor down the street could find a job, that he might have some food, clothes, and heat. You saw a family on the news whose house had blown away. Dear Santa, send them just one thing, a place where they can stay. And Santa, those four cookies I left for you a treat, could you take them to the children who have nothing else to eat? You know that little bear, the one I love so dear? I'm leaving it for you to take to Africa this year. And as you fly your reindeer on this night of Jesus' birth, could your magic bring everyone goodwill and peace on earth? There's one last thing before you go. So grateful I would be if you'd smile at baby Jesus in the manger by our tree. I pulled the letter close to me, and I felt it melt my heart. Those tiny hands had written what no other could impart. And a little child shall lead them was whispered in my ear as I watched you sleep on Christmas Eve while Santa Claus was here. Isaiah 11:6, then a wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will continue his B-Form series. We'll talk about the gospel acclamation and the gospel that we hear in Mass. Plus, Leonard DiLorenzo, faculty member of the Department of Theology at the University of Notre Dame, will discuss what it means to wait for the Lord. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come next hour here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.